Lord, we just thank you that we're all together again tonight. Praise God, with all our brothers and sisters. And we thank you for anointing this fellowship, Lord, this meeting of like-minded believers, because we all like to believe like you do, Lord. We want to believe just exactly like you, Lord. We want to be just exactly like you, Lord. We know that you're doing that work in all of us, Father. Show us how to excuse me. Show us, Lord, lead us into that walk, that perfect walk that you want us to walk, Lord, and teach us how to get out of this old carnal life. Get us out of this old fleshly life, Lord, out of this old world, having to run back to the world all the time, Lord. Let's just be content where we are. Show us how to be content where we are in you and to walk in you all the time, Lord. Where you're leading us, you're guiding us, and you're showing us the things, Lord, that you want us to do, we just praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. We thank you for last night. Oh, last night was so awesome, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you, Lord, that we're going to have the same type of meeting, possibly even more, tonight, in Jesus' name, Lord. I ask that you anoint all of us, Lord. Show us a great time with you, because our hearts are all knitted together in one accord, Lord. We all believe and want to believe the same thing. We want to believe you, Lord. We want to walk like you and talk like you all the time. And I just praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us. Show us what you want us to do tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Lead us into that in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, what happened to my screen? There you are. Screen went blank. Well, all right. Let me get me a piece of paper here. And a pencil. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Today is the what, 23rd? The year of 18. Well, all right. Has anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Or would like to pray about somebody?
Yo, Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. I want to lift up this co-worker's daughter-in-law. She went to the hospital today, and she's going to stay in there till April. She's having mono twins.
We're having what?
Mono twins. That's what he said, mono twins. I looked it up.
What's that?
It's basically there's no wall dividing the two kids or the two babies.
Oh, Siamese, I think they call them.
No, they're not joined. They're separate, but there's no wall dividing them.
Oh, in the womb.
In the womb, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And so he said she has to stay under 24/7 surveillance, I guess, until the babies are born in April.
And why is that?
I don't know much.
Yeah.
About that.
What did you call it again? Mono twins.
Mono twins, yeah.
Okay.
I looked it up real quick before we came on just to see what it was. But
right.
It looks like there's no wall separating the two babies. But personally, I don't see why she'd need to be surveillance that long. But anyway, Lord, we pray for her, Lord. We pray for her salvation, Lord, that you would show yourself to her in a mighty way, Lord, and that she would repent and confess her sins and that she would believe on you, Lord. And we pray for those babies in her womb, Lord, that they will be healthy, that no harm will come to them, no matter what the doctors say or do, Lord. And we thank you that everything's going to be all right with them.
Amen. We command everything that's supposed to be there to be there. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that both of them are going to be normal when they come out, and it's going to be a glory to the doctors. And Father, we thank you that she's going to give you the glory, and her husband's going to give you the glory for this, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, because Father, you deserve the glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano. Go ahead.
Tracy called this afternoon, and I don't know whether she contacted you or not, but she just received word that her brother is in ICU. He's in a diabetic coma, and she's quite concerned about him. She said they haven't had just a real good relationship, but she was wanting to go down there, but she's worried about the roads and, you know, if they'd be clear or not. And so I was just wondering if you would pray for her situation and for her brother.
Okay, what's his name?
I think it's Mike, but Michael, but I'm not real sure. So okay. I guess I would just say her brother. I'm thinking it's Michael.
Okay, all right. Now, what did you say was wrong with him? Is that he's in ICU for what? Diabetes?
A diabetic coma.
Okay, diabetic coma.
And she said, well, she was wanting to work till the weekend, but yet she was concerned about him and about the roads.
Yeah.
But I know she would really like to go down there. She thought, you know, him being in a diabetic coma, that perhaps he wouldn't be able to talk to her anyway right now, which is probably true, I would think. But yeah. I don't really know that much about it.
Well, a diabetic coma is a coma.
That's what I think of too. That they're not really, you know, they're not really. They're more like in asleep.
Well, you remember that story about my brother-in-law that was in a diabetic coma, and this has been many years ago, and Lord woke me up one night and told me to go up there and pray for him. I said, Lord, he's in a coma. He said, he can hear you.
Okay.
He said, his spirit can hear you. He said, go up there and pray and ask him to lead him to Christ. He said, lead him to me. And that's what I did. And I believe, and about 2 hours later, he went to be with the Lord, I believe, after I did that. But anyway, yeah, we'll pray for him. Lord, we just lift up Tracy's brother to you. Father, while he's in this coma, I ask that you speak to him and show him where he's headed if he's not yours, Lord. So that Tracy, that when we pray, Father, that this prayer is going to bring him into the kingdom. And that when he comes back, Father, he'll tell Tracy and apologize to her. Whatever's going on, I don't know what the relationship is. I don't know what's going on, but you do, Lord. And I ask that you turn this man around and that everybody around him will be glorified because of what you've done in his life. We ask that in the name of Jesus, that you show Tracy's brother whatever it takes, Lord, to get him into the kingdom. And we thank you for it. And after you do that, Lord, we come against this diabetes. We command that spirit of diabetes off of him. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go right now and all the symptoms and effects of it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that when he comes back, he's going to be completely restored as new. And we thank you, Lord, that if you want Tracy to go, you'll place it in her heart to go. But if not, we ask, Lord, that you place it in her heart not to go. But when she goes, she can be confident that you're going to take care of her and get her there safely and back safely. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that that's what you're going to do with Tracy. And we thank you, Lord, for the leading that you're teaching Tracy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your protection on Tracy and her brother. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Is that you, Judy? That's Judy. Anybody got a testimony? Praise report. Go ahead, Matt. Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
I would just give a testimony about what kind of happened yesterday to me. Yesterday, I was really having trouble getting into the spirit. I just felt this heavy oppression against me. Of course, you know, I was coming against it, and really, it was just all day at work, and then we had the evening meeting, and I felt some relief there at the evening meeting. And then there was this one point during the meeting that the Lord told Michael to tell everyone to, you know, lift up your hands if you want that joy of the Lord, and you'll get it, you know. And so I did. I lifted up my hands, and I stood up, and all of a sudden, I just felt all this joy started bubbling up all in me, and I started just like, started laughing, and just, it was just so awesome. And I just want to give God the glory for that, because that is just, it was just an awesome experience.
Amen. And let's tell the whole story.
You want me to tell it, or you want you to tell it?
You go right ahead. You go right ahead. You're doing a good job.
Okay. So this all started out when a sister in the fellowship felt that she should pray for another sister who's been going through a lot of persecution in her personal life and her work life. And so she prayed for her in tongues. And I do have to say, I did feel the Holy Spirit move at that moment on her. And the sister who was being prayed for.
You should have been there with me. Oh, man.
Kind of hard. Last night we were really packed. But anyway.
Oh, I know.
And the sister that was getting prayed for started, this joy just came all over her. She just started laughing, and she was smiling, and just so much joy was beaming out of her. I mean, you could see this across the room. I'm across the room, and she's on the other side. She was laughing, and she was smiling that whole night, which was probably, what, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. She was smiling. Never stopped smiling and glowing. I mean, you could just... I mean, it was so awesome. And so as this was going on, we went into our next song that we were going to praise the Lord with. And as we finished praising the Lord, that's when the Lord told Michael to, you know, if you want this joy too and have it abundantly, lift up your hands and praise him and just, you know, accept it. And I did, and it was just like, whoosh, you know, and I just felt that oppression leave, that darkness, that, and it's just been an awesome ever since then, you know, and it's just like, you know, this is so awesome.
I have to agree with you, man. You should have been over there. I had my hands on both sisters at the same time, and I was getting a lot of it myself, and it was awesome. It was really an awesome time last night. And that was, it was like that the whole night. I mean, David had prayed a prayer and about filling us up with the Holy Spirit. God did that. And the last two meetings have just been absolutely phenomenal, that the Holy Spirit has come in and blessed his people. And it's just been really awesome. And I believe he's going to bless people here too, you know. The same identical way. Yeah, Leah.
Don't forget about Bill's word about being chosen.
Okay, would you mind relating that?
Okay, there's a guy there named Bill, and he said he had a dream and the Lord was speaking to him and told him that the group that was assembled together was chosen in the Lord, or was going to be chosen in the Lord. So we didn't have to worry about anything any longer. We were going to be chosen. So, and that's just a blessing, you know. And I mean, we're the chosen from Scripture, but now it's like a confirmation. And the book we're studying is about being on Wednesdays, is being about being chosen and how the Lord does it, why he does it, and so forth. So that was just confirmation to me that, hey, that's a great thing.
Amen. Amen. That lubricant didn't work. No biggie. All right. Yeah, it was an awesome time last night we had. I just want to give God the glory for doing this. We've been waiting a long time to see some of these types of meetings take place, and it's just been awesome. It seems like he's doing it. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I just want to say, you know, since that first meeting last Friday, just the testimonies coming out from people who received the Holy Spirit, it's amazing.
Yeah, we had one man been seeking the Holy Spirit for 37 years, finally received it Friday night. Yeah. And another lady that had been seeking the Holy Spirit for a long time too, received it as well. So it's an awesome time. Awesome time. He's blessing his folks. Y'all come down and visit. We'll do it together. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else on testimony or a praise report? I tell you, I was blessed last night too. I was really blessed. I got joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Yeah, down in my heart. I got joy down in my heart. Cause Jesus loved me. I don't know the rest of it. That's all I know of. that's good stuff though. Praise God. Yeah, I tell you what, I've been on a, like Matt and Leon and everybody else. It's Judy and Denny and Debbie. We've all been on a pretty emotional high, or spiritual high, I should say. Or I have. And anyway, and it's been awesome. It's been awesome. Today has been really good for me. I got some good news, and I can relay it right now, but you'll know about it sooner or later. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Lord really blessed me today. With the Lord and me. Today I was talking with my team leader at work, and she told me that my supervisor told her that I was one of the best workers that came through in a couple of years that they've seen.
And you believe that? Just kidding, man.
And I was just like, wow, Lord, you know, you work through people to bless, you know, your people, obviously, and to bless your name. Because, you know, it's not me that's doing it, because me would be just like the rest of the group. But just want to give him the glory and thanks for everything.
Amen. You're freezing up every now and then. But we heard it. Looky there, there's Judy and Sue. Sue G, what's up, girl? Can y'all hear me? Yeah, y'all can hear me, can't you?
They're frozen, Michael.
Oh, they're frozen in time. Okay. Are they robots? Get unfrozen in the name of Jesus right now. Right now. Oh, I got her muted. She may be trying to talk. Can you talk now, Judy?
Yeah, we're trying to get on with the iPad, but it keeps flipping me off and won't stay connected to the Wi-Fi. So that's what we're trying to do. I don't know why it's doing that.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can hear you real good.
Okay. Well, I don't know why it still says I shows a picture, but it still says connecting. So I may just have to do the phone thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that'd be okay. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
How
at
you
least
do?
You can.
How you is? How you doing? Everything all right? That's cool.
Yeah, everything's good.
Yep, we're good. We're okay. Just
all right.
Yeah, I was on a high last night too.
All right. I believe everybody was, even Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Amen. Well, all right.
Oh, anybody? Michael, can I do my testimony about going up the steps?
You go ahead, girl. Yeah, you absolutely can. Hi, Tracy.
Okay. Well, at Michael and David's, they have these steps that go up the mountain on the side there. And I was able to go up them with one foot and then the next foot and then the next, back and forth. Instead of just using one foot, I got to climb clear to the top of the steps. And then Shay helped me go up the part where you didn't have steps, where it was just the dirt. But I still moved my knee and got clear up to they built a treehouse up there. So I got to go up there and watch Lexi climb it up, climb up there and down. Then I went down and I told Shay I could go down by myself, and I did. She didn't have to hang on to me or anything. I went down the dirt part fine, and then I went down the steps okay. So I just praise the Lord, and I did it today, and I'm going to do it every day so I can strengthen my knee. So thank you, Lord, for healing my knee.
You know, Judy, I noticed this morning that it wasn't swollen. I said, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, it's looking so much better. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I know I'm healed.
Yes, you are. You are healed.
Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Testimony, praise report, somebody needs to be prayed for or would like to pray for someone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Michael?
Yes.
I just got a text from Tracy that she lost her glasses when she was shoveling snow. So would you pray that she finds her glasses, the Lord puts them where she can see them, and that they don't get damaged?
Who is this?
Tracy Dalton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we prayed for a while ago, but we'll pray again for her glasses. You say she lost her glasses in the snow.
Yes.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to put those glasses right where Tracy can find them. She won't have to look very long because she knows that you're going to bring them to her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's a done deal. You believe that, Judy?
Yes.
Yes, I believe it. And I texted her and told her that we'd pray.
Amen. Tell her it's done. Just be looking for it because it's out there right where she can find it.
I think she had to go to bed right now to sleep before she goes to work. So, Lord, keep them there where she can see them when she wakes up.
Put them in her pocket.
Yeah.
Put them in her pocket. Yeah, I've seen God do that before. I've seen them do keys like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, amen. Well, all right. Anything else, Judy? Sue?
No, I'm good. How about
you? Yep.
We're good.
We're good.
Who said you was good? Jesus, huh? Yeah, see ya. All right. Okay, anybody else? All right. Anybody else need any prayer or would like, yeah, Leah?
I want to say something to Sue.
Okay.
I think your grandson, Willie, was on a little while ago before you and Judy got on, but it didn't stay on long. But I think it was him that was on. I saw Willie by the phone.
That was Willie Thomas.
No, Willie Thomas is up here in the...
He was using both.
On the phone, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I looked the number up, and that was Willie. People do that so they can talk sometimes. I want to relate something to you, talking about the carnal man and the spiritual man. Okay, we've been talking about absolute surrender and how we should surrender to the Lord. And let's just see what the Word says about it, you know, in certain instances, like old Peter. Remember old Peter? Remember in Luke 22, he said Peter went out and wept bitterly. And those words indicate the turning point in the life of Peter when he had a crisis. And there's this often question about the life of holiness. How do you get into it? How do you grow into it? Or do you grow into it? Or do you just come into it like through a crisis just suddenly? And Peter, at that time, had been growing for 3 years under Christ's ministry. But he'd been growing downward, too, at the end of that. Because you remember he denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus was taken in. But after that crisis, after he denied Christ, he was a changed man. And then that's when he started to grow. We need to grow in grace. But before we can grow in grace, we got to get it right. We all of us have to be put right. We have to be humbled a lot of times. You know, we all sometimes we think that we're okay in Christ. We're okay in Christ. And then something comes along that tells us, no, you ain't right with Christ. You're doing things carnally when you should be doing it spiritually. God will let it go along for a ways. And then after a while, you've been in the Word for a while and you're still in a carnal life, he'll cut your legs out from under you and show you that you're not right with him. He'll humble you and then you start walking in that spiritual life that he wants you to do most of the time. You know, in God's Word, we read often about the difference between the carnal and the spiritual Christian, and that word carnal comes out of the Latin word for flesh. In other words, carnal means flesh. And we're taught that the flesh and the Spirit of God are two opposing powers that we're dominated by or ruled by. And we're taught that a true believer can allow himself to be ruled by the flesh or the Spirit. And that's what Paul tells us in Corinthians. In the 3rd chapter, the first 4 verses, he says 4 times in them, you are carnal and not spiritual. And just so a believer can allow the flesh to have so much power over him, that's the carnal life that he leads. Every object is named according to its most prominent characteristic. If a man is a babe in Christ, and got a little bit of the Holy Spirit and a great deal of the flesh, he's called carnal, right? Because the flesh is his chief mark. And if he gives away, just like the Corinthians did, to strife and temper and bitterness and anger and division and envy, then he's a carnal Christian. He's a Christian, but he's a carnal Christian. But if he gives himself over entirely, absolute surrender to the Holy Spirit, so that he, the Holy Spirit, can deliver from the temper, the envy, the anger, the bitterness, and all of that, and can mortify the deeds of the body, then God's Word calls him then a spiritual man. He's a true spiritual Christian. And it's remarkable that these two styles are illustrated in the life of Peter. That text that I read there out of Luke 22, that's the crisis or the turning point that he began to pass over from the carnal into the spiritual. Now here's what I'm trying to say, that the great majority of Christians are not spiritual. They're not spiritual men and women. But they want to be, most of them want to become spiritual, and the only way you can do that is by the grace of God. Now, all of us here, I'm sure, are hungering and longing for that better life of being led by the Spirit and walking in that spiritual way that God wants us to. You know what's wrong with that most of the time? Because we allow the flesh. I'm talking about myself too. I allow the flesh to rule in me when in times I need to let the Spirit rule in me. And that just happened to me here in the last few days. I'm not going to go into it, but I allowed the flesh to dictate something to me rather than what the Lord had already told me. And you can't do that. That grieves the Holy Spirit. And of course, I repented and I came back in. You know, it's just something in my personal life. I'm relating that to let you know that we have to go the way of the Holy Spirit. When he wants you to do something and you go a different way, that grieves him. There's a better life, a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. First thing we need to do is take care of the carnal life, confess it if you're in it. And of course, the second is there is a blessed spiritual life, and believe by faith that it's possible to walk in it in your life. And the third step is most important. You can be one step out of the carnal life into the spiritual state, just one half a step, I'd say. And I ask that God reveal it to you now through what Peter went through. In that carnal state, the marks of that carnal state in Peter was he had a self-will, he was self-pleasing, he was self-confident, he had flesh, didn't he? He was walking by the flesh. Remember when Christ said to the disciples at Caesarea Philippi, the Son of Man must be crucified. What happened? Peter said, Lord, that can never be. And what Christ tell him, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, that's an awful thing to, you know, for Peter to have to hear. And he didn't understand the suffering that Christ was and had to go through. And he had a lot of self-will, a lot of carnal life still left him, a lot of flesh. And he dared to even contradict and rebuke Christ, just like I did the other day through some things that happened with me. So we need to remember where we are in Christ and how we got there and where our surrender is to Christ, it's not to our flesh. When we allow that flesh to walk, we're not in Christ's stead then. Now let's go back to Peter. You all remember how Peter and the other disciples were arguing about who was to be the chief guy, one to sit on the right hand, the other on the left hand, and who was going to be the best in Christ's eyes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then what Peter say? The last night when Christ warned Peter that Satan desired to sift him and that he would deny him. And what Peter tell him, he said, Lord, if they all deny thee, I'm ready to go to prison and to death. That's what he told him. That was self-confidence. He thought he could do it in the flesh. And it wasn't just a few hours later that he did deny him three times. He loved Jesus, but he trusted himself. And that's the way we do sometimes. We love Jesus, but we trust ourselves more than we trust Jesus. We have to trust the Lord. He's a whole lot better at this game than we are. I know I found that out just in my little old walk with Jesus, you know. Peter loved Jesus. When God had, by the Holy Spirit, taught him. And what Christ told him, he said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that's what he told Peter. God had taught him that Christ was the Son of God. But you know what? Peter was still under the power of the flesh. And that's why he said out in Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're under the power of the flesh. You can't watch with me, he told him. And what did it all lead to? The flesh led not only to the sins that we've already mentioned, but it led to the saddest of things, to his actual denial of Jesus. He actually denied Jesus three times and told that lie, and once with an oath. He cussed it. I said, I know not that man. He denied the blessed Lord. And that's what it comes to with the life of the flesh. That is Peter right then. Now, after he became a spiritual man, Christ taught him a lot, didn't he? He taught Peter a lot. And if you count carefully, you'll find some seven or eight times Christ has spoken to the disciples about humility. He's taken a little child, and he set him in the midst of it. And he told him, he said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He told him that three or four times. And then what happened at the Last Supper? He washed their feet, took a towel, bent down, and washed all their feet. But you know, Peter still wasn't very humble. And all that Christ had taught him was in vain at that particular time. A man who is not spiritual, although he might be reading his Bible, although he might be studying God's Word, he can't conquer sin because he's not living the life of the Holy Spirit. That man cannot live a right Christian life unless he's full of the Holy Spirit. You know, all of the disciples didn't get filled until Pentecost, and that's when all the miracles started happening at that time. That's when the change took place. The Lord Jesus led Peter up to Pentecost, and he came from heaven. And what y'all remember what took place? That old Peter was gone, and he was a new Peter. And if y'all go back and read his epistle, and you'll note, out of that epistle, he said, through suffering to glory, Peter, who had said, of course, Lord, you never can suffer or be crucified. Peter, who to save himself, suffering or shame, had denied Christ. Peter became so changed that when he writes the epistles, that every thought of his was about Christ. Every thought of his was about Christ. Suffering is the way to glory. And the Holy Spirit changed Peter completely. Peter was so weak in the spirit that a woman scared him into denying Christ. But what happened when the Holy Spirit got hold of him? He was bold, wasn't he? He was bold to confess his Lord at any cost at that time. He was ready to go to prison and to death for Christ's sake. The Holy Spirit had changed him from a carnal man into a spiritual man. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit at all times. He couldn't understand what Christ taught him. He couldn't take all of that info in. And it was impossible before the death of Christ. But on the day of Pentecost, you remember how he stood out there and expounded the Word of God as a spiritual man. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes upon a man, he becomes a spiritual man. And instead of denying his Lord, he denies himself. And that's what we need to remember. In Matthew 16, Peter said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never happen, that thou shalt be crucified. And of course, you know what Christ told. Not only will I be crucified, but you'll have to be crucified too. He told him, he said, if any man is to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and die upon it. Let him deny himself and come on and follow me. Well, how did he obey that command? Well, he went and denied Jesus right after that. And as long as a Christian is under the power of the flesh, he's continually denying Jesus. You always got to do one or the other. You're either in your spiritual walk or you're denying Jesus. So we have to deny self so we don't deny Jesus. Because if you remember, Peter, that great apostle, denied the Lord rather than deny himself. But when the Holy Spirit came to him, gave him the power to overcome, he couldn't deny his Lord. He denied himself. And he praised God for the privilege of suffering for Christ. Remember what happened to him when the change came about? He went out and he cried all night long. What that meant was that the Lord led Peter to come to the end of himself to see what was in his heart. He let him see that old dark black heart that he had, that old self-confidence that led him into that deep sin that a child of God could be guilty of. And he did it with a curse. When he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it with a curse. You remember what Jesus did when he stood there before him in that great sin with Jesus up on the cross? That full love, reproach, love and pity that he had, that pierced, I imagine, like an arrow through the heart of Peter. Boy, he went out and he did. He cried his eyes out. He cried his heart out. And that was the end of his self-confidence right then. That was the permanent turning point. He went out with a shame that nobody could ever express. He woke up out of a dream to terrible reality. He told him, he said, I've helped to crucify the blessed Son of God. And, you know, I don't imagine anybody can understand what Peter passed through those 3 days of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the crucifixion and then the resurrection. When Jesus on that Sunday revealed himself to Peter, he breathed peace on him, didn't he? When he breathed peace on him, that was it. Remember when the Lord asked him during that time? He said, Simon Jonas, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He did that 3 times until Peter was sorrowful. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And what was it that wrought that transition from the love of the flesh to the love of the Spirit? I'm telling you, that was the beginning. Peter went out and he wept bitterly with a broken heart and with a heart that would give anything to show its love to Jesus. With a heart that had learned to give up all self-confidence, Peter was prepared now for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you can see what we're talking about in this little story about Peter. There's a lot of us that live that same life that Peter lives, of self-confident Peter as he was. And a lot of times we go through the same things where we deny Christ because of convenience. And then we realize that we've done that. And then we've been broken. We're ashamed of it. We allow the circumstances to get that mastery over us. We say the things and we do things that we're ashamed of. The thing that we need to ask ourselves, are we living as a man filled with the Spirit and totally, absolutely surrendered to Jesus, following him fully, giving up all for him? And if we do it with an honest heart, most of us will say, God knows I'm not. My heart knows it. You say it. And then there's the question we need to ask ourselves. Isn't your position and your character and your conduct just like Peter? You love Jesus just like Peter did. You know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And you're very jealous. Most of us are real zealous to work for him. Peter had cast out devils in his name. He'd preached the gospel. He'd healed the sick. And most of us have tried to work for Jesus. But under it all, there's that something that comes up to the top continually. You know, we say, I pray, I try, I do long to live a holy life. But the flesh is too strong and sin gets the better of me, and continually I am pleasing self instead of denying it and denying Jesus instead of pleasing him. And if we make that confession, then we need to look at the other life that's available to all of us. And that's that spiritual life. And just like he gave the Holy Spirit to Peter, he's willing to give the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about filled up all the time. I'm not talking about just a baptism in the Holy Spirit at one time. We're talking about the being filled up with the Holy Spirit at all time, walking in the spiritual realm all time, letting the Lord lead you in every available way. He has prepared, God has prepared a beautiful and blessed life for every one of us. And God as a father is waiting to see why you'll not come to him and let him fill you with his Holy Spirit. We need to be willing for it. I know there's some of you just like me. Lord, why can't I live that life that you want me to live? Why can't I live every hour of unbroken fellowship with God? Why can't I enjoy what my Father has given me, all the riches of his grace? And it's for me that he gave it. How come I can't enjoy it? And there are those who say, why can't I abide in Christ every day and every hour and every moment? Why can't I have the light of my Father's love filling my heart all the day long? What can help me, y'all? I can tell you one thing that can help you. What helped Peter? He went out and he wept bitterly. That conviction of sin, it has to come to us to a real, downright, earnest repentance, which means change, or we never can get into that better life. We need to stop complaining and start confessing. My life is not what it should be. And I'll try to do better. Well, that ain't going to help you. You know what's going to help you? That you go down in despair to lie at the feet of Jesus. That you begin with a very real and bitter shame to make confession. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to have compassion upon me. For these many years I have been a Christian. But there are so many sins from which I have not cleansed myself. That temper, that is old anger, pride and jealousy, envy, angry words, unkind judgments, criticism, unforgiven thoughts. Some of us have friends that we've never forgiven for what he said to us or did to us. Or if somebody's got an enemy they don't like. And they'll tell you that they can't love him. Well, the Lord tells you to do that. Some of you might be saying, there's people at my business where I work that I dislike. I can't get right with them. And somebody else might be led captive by the law of sin and death. We need to all make confessions with shame and say, I've been bought with the blood of Christ. I have been washed with the blood. But just think of what that life I've been living. I am ashamed of it, and bow before God and ask him by the Holy Spirit to make you more deeply ashamed and to work in you that divine contrition. And I pray you take the step at once. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. That was his salvation, yeah, and that's the turning point of his whole life right then. So shouldn't we all be upon our faces before God and make confession and get down on our knees under the burden of the terrible load and say, I know I am a believer, but I'm not living as I should to the glory of God. I'm under the power of the flesh and all the self-confidence and self-will and self-pleasing that marks my life. Don't you long to be brought nigh unto God? I do. I do. I want to be brought nigh unto God. I want to be led every step of the way by God. I'd give anything to walk in close fellowship with Jesus every day, or would we? That's what he wants. He wants us to surrender all. Would you not count it a pearl of great price to have the light and love of God shining in you all day long? So we need to come and fall down and make confession of sin. And if you'll do that, Jesus will come and he'll meet you. And he's going to ask you, lovest thou me? And if you say yes, Lord, very quickly, he'll ask you again, lovest thou me? And if you say yes, Lord, again, he'll ask you a third time, lovest thou me? And your heart will be filled with an unutterable sadness. And your heart will get still more broken down and bruised by that question. And you'll say, Lord, I have not lived as I should, but still I love thee and I give myself to thee. And oh, may God give us grace now that with Peter we may go out and if need be, weep bitterly. And if we don't weep bitterly, we're not going to force tears. Shall we not sigh very deeply and bow very humbly and cry very earnestly, O God, reveal to me the carnal life in which I have been living. Reveal to me what has been hindering me from having my life full of the Holy Ghost. Shall we not cry, Lord, break my heart into utter self-despair, and oh, break me, bring me in helplessness to wait for the divine power, for the power of the Holy Ghost to take possession and to fill me with the new life given all to Jesus. Praise God. And I took all of this from a book called The Deeper Christian Life, and I just kind of read some of it, and I kind of put my words into it too. And it really, when I first read this part of it, it struck me. I'm talking about Michael. It struck me that, Michael, you haven't been doing what God wants you to do, and that's giving your all. We've been talking about surrender, absolute surrender to God. And I have reflected and looked back on my life just in the last week, to say. And I found many, many instances where I walked in the flesh rather than walked in the Spirit. And it grieves me, you know, to know that the Holy Spirit is grieved because of it. And I thought I'd just relate that to y'all, and I hope it helps somebody. Now, anybody got anything they'd like to ask or would like to add to what we just talked about or what I just talked about. Nobody? Come on now.
Praise God. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's something that we need to think about. You know, we think, well, I'm okay. You know, I read my Bible once a day. I get up and I pray and I do this and I do that. But think about all the times that you walk in the flesh. And that'll change you. We're coming to a time where we're going to have to help people. And the only way to do that is walking in the Spirit of God and allowing Him to lead you. There's going to be some awesome things that's going to happen here shortly. And most of y'all are going to be involved in it. If not all of you. I don't know. You know. Okay, what else you want to talk about? Yes, it is, Tracy. Unforgiveness is big. That's the number one thing that I've found through the years that keeps people from getting healings is unforgiveness and deliverances. That's the number one. Unforgiveness is, from what I found out, is the biggest cause of cancer.
I agree.
All right. Anybody want to talk about something else? I know it was a somber type of message, but it struck a chord with me, and I thought I'd just share it with you. And I hope you get something. Really, I do. I hope you get something out of it, and it helps you. Well, what's that?
I was blessed by that. Thank you, Michael.
All right, Barbara.
Yeah, I've been praying and asking the Lord for more of His infilling of the Holy Spirit and more searching my own heart. Just everything you pretty much said, it's just been, that's been on my heart. And just everything you said was profound. And that's my yearning, is to live that way before the Lord and be led by His Holy Spirit in everything, you know. And yeah, when we take an inventory of our lives and look at how many times we walked in the flesh, yeah, it's disturbing. And just that's just been the cry of my heart to the Lord, you know, about, you know, surrendering everything to Him. That's my desire, and that's my cry to the Lord that, you know, He would help me in that. And He is helping me in that. And I just praise and thank the Lord for that. But anyways, that was good what you said, all that you said, and thank you for that. Amen.
All right. Well, you know, the part of that life that He wants us to live is a humble servant life, serving life. You remember when Jesus took his gown off and tied a towel around His waist? And started washing the disciples' feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter asked, "What you fixing to do?" He said, "I'm fixing to wash your feet." He said, "Oh, you're not gonna wash my feet, Lord. I'm don't be washing my feet." He said, "If I don't wash your feet, you're not gonna have a part in me." He said, "Wash my feet, my hands, and my head too." And that's the way we ought to be. Wash us all, Lord. Get us all clean. Clean us up. But that's the type of life that God wants us to lead, is one of a serving, being a servant to the brothers and sisters in Christ. He said the least of these is going to be at the head, didn't he? He's going to be the first. The last will be first, and the first shall be last. It's a humble, serving life. And I'll be honest with everybody, you know, people say that it's a, it's, you know, when I first came into the kingdom, I had a preacher tell me, man, you come into the kingdoms, you know, it's going to be, everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be worked out. God's going to work it all out in your life, you know, and everything's going to be just tiptoeing through the tulips. And actually, it's a hard, hard, heart-wrenching life that we live as Christians. How many times has your heart been broken, you know, by loved ones that are near to you that come against you because you go for Christ rather than the world? And we think, you know, because we've done something like that, and the next thing you know, we're saying something nasty to somebody next to us, you know. Well, we've just negated everything. And that's why I'm talking about me, you know. I've been thinking, reflecting on this absolute surrender thing for about a week now, or quite a long while, but maybe longer than that. It's just, yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that myself, you know. The carnal mind is exactly what it is. It's carnal. It will always be carnal. It will never change, you know, its nature, you know, not to be carnal. You literally need that power from on high, you know, to walk in that renewed mind. It's like no matter how much you try. Can you hear me just fine? Okay. You know. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, how do you seek the Lord's face? You know, what do you have on your mind when you're seeking the Lord's face? You know. Always looking for that formula to become extra super spiritual. And, you know, carnally we fall into that habit, you know. The carnal mind trying to cast out the carnal mind. You know, why not just have nothing in mind, you know, just declare a fast, you know, and go before the Lord, you know, and say to Father, you know, I declare a fast. I'm here to, you know, to move more into absolute surrender. Don't come up with a method on how you're going to try to do it. I mean, if you want to try something biblical. But you know that your mind is dealing with, oh, they were up in the upper room for 10 days. Maybe that's what I should try. You know, a 10-day fast. You know, I've gone into a fast with nothing on my mind. You know, just, you know, Lord, whatever you need to change, change it. And I find, you know, they turn out to be pretty good fasts. Sometimes, you know, I'll invite the Holy Spirit, you know. Try a fast like that, you know. Just go on a fast and invite the Holy Spirit and, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you all things, lead you into all truth. That's your fast, you know. Pray for more of the power of the Comforter, you know. But the carnal mind, I'm going to tell you, it's carnal. It doesn't agree with anything but itself. It has no desire for anything but itself. It you wake up with it, you go to sleep with it, and it only takes, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit to truly walk in the renewed mind of Christ. Truly. This is a true death sentence that, you know, that only Christ could fulfill for you. And has fulfilled. You know, that's what we have to take hold of. You know, Christ has fulfilled the crucifying of the carnal mind. And you got to take hold of that by faith. And, you know, let patience have this perfect work. And, you know, I one of my bad habits when I fast is patience. Okay, I fasted one day. I want it all right now. Let the Shekinah glory fill up the fire. The angels on the light up, too. And I get like that sometimes, and then I'm like, oh, man, not much has happened. This ain't going to work. And, you know, carnal-mindedly, you don't talk to yourself. Get all that fasting and then talk yourself out of it. But, you know, praise the Lord. That is something I need help with, you know, in prayer for. Just to have an idea where to start. Or just, you know, maybe I need to look more into, you know, fasting. You know. That's all I really got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think fasting's part of it. I also think that having a conversation with God every day helps a lot as well. And also getting into the Word, you know. Praising God, all of those things, everything that's part of our walk is integral in maturing each one of us. Mostly, in my experience, it's been is making sure that I get up in a praise God in a. It's not. I'm not talking about a ritual, but it's just getting a personal talk with the Lord, you know, and just sharing with Him, and then getting in the Word, and I try to do that every day. And I see that I can see some fruit. I know some of y'all can't see it in me, but I have experienced a little bit here and there. But no, it's just here in the last week, I really bore down and seeking the Lord on a few things, and He's shown me some things, and that's what you do. You just you cry out to the Lord. The Lord, help me. I can't do it. Like Willie was talking about, that mind is terrible, boy. It's up against God all the time. That old carnal mind. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I had a couple of verses I wanted to share after listening to Willie.
Okay.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 first. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, I guess it's 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So I was just thinking of those scriptures when Willie was talking, because I know people who are Christians, who are mainly family members, that they believe they have the renewed, you know, the Spirit of God and the renewed mind, but they're not really in the Word. They don't really know the Word. They just try to grab that out of the air or something, or just knowing the truth of it, but not by taking in that incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which changes their mind and makes that gets rid of that carnal mind, replaces it with the mind of Christ. So.
Amen. Well, that's essential, is to know what the Word of God says. How you going to understand what word your walk is if you don't read and study the Word of God? Like it says. I know a lot of people like that, Debbie, that they do a lot of praying. Oh, I'll tell you one. We had on here a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Tom Kruger. You know, he did a lot of praying. He did a lot of spiritual walking and that kind of thing. But boy, I tell you what, his he wasn't sound in his doctrine, because he didn't read much. You know, he didn't read the Word of God much, But boy, he took some spiritual journeys, no doubt about it. But he didn't have his doctrine right down, you know, because he didn't read the Word of God much. I hope he's doing that now. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. That was Tim's friend. And I don't have any information. I'd love to get him back on here. Some of you haven't heard him, I don't think. But yeah, it takes getting in the Word and understanding what your walk is supposed to be. How God walked, how Jesus walked in this life. If you don't know how Jesus walked, how are you going to be like Jesus? How are you going to be doing the 1 Corinthians 3:18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, you talked about, you know, following the Lord and our walk with the Lord, you know, and Judy with her legs, this is what was coming to me, you know, she has to learn to walk differently again, you know, because her legs has bothered her for years, and she's it's foreign to her. So it's the same thing with us, you know. When we first come into the Lord, it seems like, you know, we're walking in the carnal way because that's the way we know. But unless we stay close to the Lord and get to, you know Him more and just understand His Word more and start walking in His Word and His ways, you know, it's going to be foreign to us until we get it right, you know, get to have that closeness to Him.
Amen.
So I was just seeing that kind of example. You know, through what Judy's been dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. That's all.
what did he say? So he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Right, right.
And if you love the Lord and you're not reading the Word, you're not loving the Lord, are you?
Nope.
Because you don't know what the commandments are.
We have to know what they are.
Absolutely.
Amen.
What do you think, Dave? I'm going to pick him out. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing good. You know, I'm reflecting on what you're saying. I got to pick up earlier and grab everything what you said because it got in a little late.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been struggling too. A little bit with my flesh, but not to the point that it's something that it's hindering me from what my walk is right now too. I mean, some of my difficulties, unfortunately, and not that I'm trying to be judgmental anyway, but I think it's because of our ability and why we're here in UBM is, I mean, we seek truth. We really do. We run after it. We devour it. We grab the Word, and we're constantly being fed by David and by you and by others here. And because of that, I mean, that's kind of our addiction. We're addicted to the truth, we're addicted to the Lord and His Word, and we want to know what the Lord thinks in His Word. we know that we're in tune with the Lord the best way we can be. And then we're at the same time, here we are, we're discussing about trying to make our walk a little better and get our spirit in line with the Word and with the Lord and you know, sacrificing self and trying to get more God and less of us. But, you know, because of that walk we're on, it doesn't always make it easy to be around other Christians because they're not doing that same walk. And I'm not trying to be condescending and judgmental on them at all, but I'm just looking at some of the people I have at work, and they base some of their ideas on Scripture and on God that's not scriptural. And it's very hard for me to, you know, not to feel like, well, you know, that's not really what the Word says. And I'll start correcting and I'll start bringing things up. But they're instantly offended because they don't want to hear it. They don't, because I'm, you know, I guess I'm starting to, you know, come on and expose this golden calf they have that they don't like being exposed as a golden calf. And that's my difficulty. That is my difficulty because, you know, that's been my whole premise since I started this walk and been called out, is to find out more of the truth and find out if it corrects me along the way, which God's very good at doing that, which I'm very thankful, because that just makes me want to tune in even more about the rest of you. But you know, you feel like you get corrected and spanked. It's like, okay, wow. You're trying to figure out, okay, God, where are we going with this? And I think where my biggest correction comes is sometimes we talk about patience for ourselves and being patient and trying to, you know, work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. I think where my difficulty lies sometimes is I don't have that patience for others. Not that I'm so impatient and so rude that I'm just, you know, but I can be very, very strong and very adamant about what truth is sometimes. And unfortunately, it doesn't always come across to others. They can't really receive it. I think that's my biggest problem, because we're going after for what we know to be truth, and we don't want to let go and get a hold of falsehood. But when we see the falsehood, at least to me, I'll point it out and say, no, that's not really right. Like, there was a guy at work that wants to cling on to heaven. Oh, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't have the evidence. It's not there. But he has that religious spirit that won't let go of that and think, well, yeah, you bet. You know, I'm there, you know, brother. I'm you know, I speak in tongues, not me. You won't get me to speak in tongues. I'm not going to let that happen. But why wouldn't you? You know, we're all about, well, those are gifts that the Lord gives us. And everybody looks for a reason why they don't have to have that. I think, well, and I pointed this out today, well, that's really disobedience. You know, you're being disobedient. Oh, no, I'm not. No, not me. Not me. Well, yeah. Yeah, you are, because that's what God gave it for. You know, and so I think that's my difficulty, is coming across Christians that don't want to give up on their idea of what they believe it's okay to be. Rather than coming in alignment with the Word, they've got their own agenda, their own ideas, and that's hard for me to work with that, because I don't know how to work with that other than pray, point out the truth. But at the same time, others, it's just, you feel like you're alienating others, because you're telling things the way it is, and you're thinking, I don't want to be the kind of guy that just goes along with things and say, pat everybody on the back and say, you're doing fine, brother, when you're looking at and thinking, yeah, but there's so many other things you need to be going after right now that are more important too. And not that I'm trying to be the guy, the one, but that's what stumbles me, you know, and I don't know how to get people on that road, because it took somebody to show me error and me to get upset about it and then find out what more truth was, and then decide I wanted to know the truth and not the error anymore. And I don't know how to get others to have that same passion, I guess. That's just, I'm just spilling my heart out a little bit. So, my problem is because I don't have that. I'm not like Jesus in that way. I'm not that patient the way I think I should be, and they'd be able to make it work out, but I don't know. This trying to work that out myself.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that, Dave, because I used to be the same way, you know. I'd argue with somebody until I was blue in the face, and I found out that it don't make any difference what you say to them. You give them the truth and let them do with it what they can, you know. You can't argue with them, because arguing didn't do anything but throw up walls, you know. And I know you understand that, because you've been through it. But what I do, I give them the truth and just sit back and say, there it is, boys. You can have it or take it or leave it. I'm not going to sit here and argue doctrine over it, because I've given you the scriptures. You can do with it what you want. And then you put the load on them, you know. But the first thing we do before we ever do anything like that is pray that God would give them understanding. And that works sometimes, you know, a lot of times. All right. That's good. Thank you so much. That took me back a few years, man. I tell you, I used to do that too. I love it. I don't know about you. I used to love it. And that was wrong. That was wrong.
I don't necessarily like that, but it just...
But I
just, some things present themselves, and you're thinking, you just, you know, oh my gosh, you know, you don't know what to do with it, you know, let it lie.
Well, you see where they're wrong, and you want to correct them, but it's got to be God that does it. We can't do it. It has to be Him. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Willie, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Dave, I find myself dealing with the same thing at work. You know, for me, the most wonderful thing is, you know, knowing that the Lord is going to do it. It's almost like I get to sit back, you know, and watch the joy of the Lord. And, you know, He says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And so, and I'm just like, wow, because I've talked to people and, you know, I will speak according to how the Lord has convicted me. I won't be too much like, you know, your denomination and bark and rip and, you know, but, you know, I'll speak, you know, according to how the Lord has put it in my heart, in dealing with me in the faith, you know, and you find out, you know, just how powerful, the gospel, can become, you know, as it creates more and more of a testimony for a witness unto others in your life. It's kind of like the blind man, you know, how open he your eyes, you know, with the word, you know, by the finger of, you know, by the Spirit of God, you know. Will you also be his disciples? And then it's a come down to, oh, we are Moses' disciples as of him. We don't know him. And so you know, when you see, you know, the Lord do it, it's so much less grievous, when they deny you in a sense, because it's almost like you get to sit back and see how the judgment of the Lord works. And it's just like, wow, God, you're really keeping the body pure. You're very selective, you know, and your work is clean, you know. but yeah, that's how I take it when I'm talking to people. I'm done.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the same thing. Sometimes I thought, well, what if they don't come to the truth? What if they're not the one chosen to hear it? You know, just you lay it out there, and you know, if they're going to come into it, the Lord's going to bring them into it. And I try not to look at other ministries of what they're doing, you know, as far as to think, you ain't got the truth where you're at. But I do concern, it concerns me that you don't see the change over years. You're thinking, why isn't this coming out running like, we should be all be looking like we're on the same path, you know? So we all should be, you know, looking like disciples and not just, I'm over here, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul and whatever, you know, we shouldn't be look like we're under different ministries. We should all be looking like we're running on that same path. So, that kind of stumbles me sometimes. I see that, and I think I'm not seeing everybody on the same path.
Yeah, I know. David talks about when he started out, there was a bunch of them, you know. And through the years, I'm trying to sneeze here, y'all forgive me. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, my. Oh, but he says none of them started out with him or in the ministry now. and that's what happens, you know. They go so far, they find out, well, this ain't nothing. Going to church on Sunday and then on Wednesday and then go home and do it over again, you know. Well, that'd be boring to me. That was boring to me the first off, you know. And so we start doing what God shows us to do right off the get-go. If you do that, it'll be an exciting walk all your life, you know. That's what it was with me. I found out real quick, you know, them Baptists was, they was lying to me about healing. They was lying to me about the Holy Spirit, you know. Then I jumped off into the full gospel realm and found out that they were being lied to about the tribulation and other things, you know, and perfect, the holiness walk, the perfection walk. And, you know, it's a walk. We graduate from a sandbox to elementary school and then on and up, you know. Finally, he gets us out of all of it. And we start sitting in on our own and finding people like David that's been in it for 40 years and the Lord has taught him truth because he was hungry for the truth. You know, the Lord placed it in him to be hungry for the truth. Praise God for it too. All right. Anyone else? What do you think, Denny? I may have to sneeze again, so. No, I'm not, in Jesus' name. Yeah, go ahead, Denny. I saw you reaching up there, brother.
I was reading something else. My mind was somewhere else, so sorry.
Okay. What was you reading?
Oh, I was reading Hebrews. I guess I got my mind still on back when we were studying the Godhead stuff, and just something caught my attention, and I got off to reading on it. So.
Oh, okay.
So.
What is it? Something you want to share?
Well, yeah, I could share it. Basically, you know, when Jesus ascended, you know, part of God's whole salvation plan, it's, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection. But then he ascended, and then he took his blown blood into the heavenly tabernacle and made that sacrifice for us, that perfect sacrifice, which then he, you know, the sacrifice was completed. Then he was glorified, and then he was seated, you know, at the right hand of God. And then I was just pondering all that because I know there was a time when he told the disciples that they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. For those who believe in me, we're going to, it's about the rivers of water flowing out of us. And by this, he spoke of them who were, that believed, who were going to receive the Spirit, because the Spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified. And that's why I was just kind of pondering that the Spirit was, that it says not yet given in all the translations, but the given isn't in there. And it's the Holy Spirit was not yet as the comforter. Because Jesus said that when he was with the disciples, he was their comforter. And he said he was going away and then he was coming back and he was going to ask the Father and the Father would send the comforter. But there was a time when they could not receive the Holy Spirit because he was not yet glorified. But then when he did ascend and did make that blood sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, and then was glorified and then seated at the right hand, then he said he would ask the Father and the Father would pour forth the Spirit. But the Father couldn't do that yet until Jesus was first glorified. And so I'm just pondering on it. It's kind of, you know, some deep things to think about. But then after he was glorified and seated at the right hand, then he poured forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which we now have. And I was just thinking on that kind of stuff, you know, because Jesus had a human spirit and, you know, soul and body, just like we do. But that human spirit couldn't really enter into all of us. You know, we're made one now by the spirit of Christ, but that was because the spirit could come back as the omnipresent spirit of God. In that way, that's what makes us all one. You know, we all don't have the same body. We all don't have the same mind, but we do have the same spirit. And that's what makes us one. But it's just that what Jesus went through to bring that about, and just trying to understand more the spirit and the baptism of the spirit, and you know, just pondering those things. So,
amen.
Yeah,
that's a good thing to ponder on.
Yeah,
I was thinking you were right on target, because I think that's the glue that's going to hold any of us together ever, is the baptism, the Holy Spirit, you know. We all can have Christ's spirit, but we don't have God's spirit there to hold us all together and pull us together as a body. You're not really going to ever come together as a body of Christ. And that's so important. It's one of the things I was trying to drive home, is that's why it was so important that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's going to pull us together, you know. It really is, because that Spirit of God can do things with us and in us. But if he's just around us, which they all had, it's not the same as being filled with him. That's why Jesus had to go into heaven, because, you know, God was always around us. His Spirit was always around us, but he wasn't in us until Jesus went to heaven, and then the Comforter came. And then we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the disciples. And we see that unity. We've seen that fire come out. Oh, it's so important that people understand we need that Holy Spirit in us. Not just with us, in us. That's the message that the church has to understand. They're so deprived. They're not going to come together until they have that Holy Spirit baptism. And even then, there's challenges along the way. But still, the basics. I mean, Paul seeing how important that was. You know, when he found the disciples that were baptizing, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We only knew of the baptism of repentance. And then he gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I absolutely, I'm right on board with you, Denny. That is so important.
Last night, during the fellowship, while we were praising the Lord, I had a feeling from the Lord that there was a cohesiveness of the fellowship, a unifying of the fellowship last night in a mighty way, in one like I hadn't seen before. I knew that we were coming together, but last night that cohesiveness really was telling. At least in my experience with last night's fellowship. I wish we could have recorded that last night. It would have been something that y'all would have enjoyed to fellowship with us. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, I know Greg kind of started us all off. He confessed he had a hard day, and it was just, he said, well, what I really need is just to worship God. And so that started, you know, I think he said that right away, and that started, and he entered into a lot of those real worshipful songs that that just puts you in the spirit of God and of honoring God and just worshiping him. And several songs were like that. And I think everyone was in a real worshipful state. But seeing the minute seems to break out from there, you know, because that's an awesome thing when you worship him. Jesus.
Yeah, it was. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, also with that, there wasn't a lot of extemporary talking and just stuff that usually goes on. It wasn't a big pause between each song. And chatter, chatter, chatter. It just flowed. And we stayed in the spirit and didn't didn't get in and come out and get in and come out. And I think that had a lot to do with it. That's what Greg was saying, that he wanted to stay in that spirit and be able to not be broken. He didn't want this the thing that he felt to get broken between the songs. And I think it worked out pretty good that way. And some people did interject, like somebody had a word from the Lord, and they interjected there, but it just fit with what we were singing, what we were worshiping, and so forth. And I actually broke in at one time because I noticed that Kevin is the guy that leads the music, and I was noticing that he was moving around, and he looked like he was having pain in his foot again, and so on and so forth. So I just, in the middle of it, prayed for him real quick, and then we went right back into worship, and no one, not the group broke in at that point. I mean, you know, there was a period when something was said and something was done, but it was part of the worship. And it just flowed. It was miraculous. It was really good.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I want to say I appreciate what you read, too. I'm sitting here pondering that, and I notice these things in my life as well, you know, where I'm not following the Spirit all the time, that I'm getting off in the flesh and so forth. So I recognize what you were saying, what you were reading, and what you were putting in as your own for that. And I appreciate what you did, what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we might not all express how we feel about that, but it makes a difference. It really does. And we appreciate what you say. So.
Well, all right. What do you think, Andrew? Da 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 da.
Yeah, well, today, you know, I was thinking on the same lines of why can't I be always in the Spirit? Why can't I always be focused, you know? And, you know, like when you're doing your job at work and you do repetitive work, I do lots of repetitive work, and sometimes one of the guys will come up to me and talk to me about something. And, you know, I might get drawn into what he's just read in the news about something, and, you know, they'll try to say something bad about some people there in the news there, and then you get drawn in, and you go, 2 seconds later, you go, oh, man, I just did something wrong, you know. And it seems to happen, like, when you're just in a daze doing this repetitive thing, that it just comes on you. Oh, and you go, I should have been better than that, you know? And then you have to confess it and say to the Lord for forgiveness of that. And you have to continue. And it was interesting, though, because I have some things that the Lord did for me the last two mornings where I go to get my bus and the bus isn't there, and I'm late, and I'm going, oh no, I'm going to be late for the catching of the bus, the next bus. And I said, I'm not going to worry about this. And I caught the bus yesterday, but this morning, you know, one of the other guys at the bus stop, he was getting really mad. He told off the bus driver, how come our bus isn't here? And he said some cuss words there, and I felt like this wind go right by me, right into the bus. I said, well, that must be that spirit that just went in there. I'm glad it didn't stop here for me. And it ended up that I made my bus this morning, too. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with these buses. But, you know, that was nice that God just followed through, and you know, I was thanking the Lord about that. He's looking after me with the bus trip to work, and you know, and then you'll have something like that, and then something at work will happen, and you go, oh, I just goofed it all for the rest of the day. And you go, no. We have to be focused. This focusing on the Lord constantly, why would you not want to be? It's the first thing. You know, and I would sometimes be there sitting down and say, well, what kind of people are out there, Lord? You know, you got them from all the different kind of denominations, and now that we've got them from all the different religions here, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to say there's some Christians out there who probably only like put a Christmas tree up, and then you meet some people from Asia or something, and they seem a little bit more stable than those people, you know, and you go, well, what kind of people are out there? And then what kind of people are in the Christianity nowadays? You know, and you make a list. Are there some false brethren there? Are there some people here that just might have come to the Lord, like when you first came to the Lord? And are there backsliding people? You know, are there people here that, and yeah, I have my list somewhere. And then you go, there's a lot of different people that could be out there. And I go, there's a lot of amounts of people, but in the days of the first century, you know, you were either this or you weren't, you know. That's when the division was just starting there, so I can see how you're going to need a lot more of the Spirit now, you know, because you got this guy here, he's a Roman Catholic, there's a Lutheran, there's an independent Baptist over there, and then there's a Pentecostal, the Church of God, and a Christian Reformer, and then you got the Orthodox people, and you're going, wow, you know, and then you get a person who believes in Muhammad, and then you get an atheist over there, you know, and you go, there's all these different people, and how do you try and relate to them anything, you know? And I sometimes find that just the basic politeness is going to have to be something we're going to have to learn from the Lord. And because, you know, there's man's politeness, and then there's the Lord's. And, you know, some people could be really nice to you, but it's a different nice. You know, you can be with a really kind person, and he doesn't know the Lord. They're just kind. You know, and you run into some of the people who have no understanding of Christianity too, and they're a lot kinder than I've seen some people who claim to be a Christian. So, you know, I sometimes think of a rule. Well, if I'm going to talk to anyone who says they're a Christian, we better find out if they have the full gospel, and, you know, maybe try to use a verse to tell them, you know, it's more than just forgiveness. You know, you got to have the redemption. You got to have that blood. You got to have the forgiveness. You got to have the grace, according to his grace, you know. So there's four things there in that verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and 7. And then 2 and 7 has a lot to do with it too, you know, that in the ages to come, he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. So I think it, with me, I'm just trying to relate to what's around me, and to be careful. I sometimes go, don't forget, Andrew, 6:12 over there in Ephesians, these people are all around you. The 6:12 scenario is there, you know. And, well, you know, and, you could really sometimes get very sorrowful for the people who are around you. And, you know, even like your family members too. Anyway, you know. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Yeah, it's, you know, we're going to get all kinds of people around us here shortly that want to know about Jesus. And some that call themselves Christians, like Andrew was talking about, that won't know anything about the truth of this Christian walk that we have. And we're going to have to have the Holy Spirit and the grace that He gives us to deal with these types of people and to bring them in gracefully into the kingdom of God. The signs and wonders are going to do a lot of work in that respect. But then we've got to show the love of Christ ourselves. And the way we do that is to allow ourselves to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to show us. Yeah, Andrew.
I found my list. it's quite a long list of all, and these are just people like in what you call Christianity, false brethren, backsliding brethren, worldly, fallen away, new converts, the ones that are going around the mountain again, erring, ignorant, carnality, the people who are increasing, you know, from faith to faith and glory to glory and grace unto grace. And people who are leveling off, you know, and are just like stable and this is as high as I can go. And people who are increasing and decreasing. People who are negative to the perfecting and maturity. And people who are adding to the word and taking away from the word. And of course, the same thing with regards to that verse, for the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. And, you know, I just sit down and try to examine what kind of people are out there and then try to analyze that, you know, and you know, I make these lists, you know, and just, I can actually go into, because there's notes all around here that, you know, you can talk about the parable of the sower, you know, because these people are that are in those four lands are in that parable of the sower. You know, all of these people are in there because they had some sort of Christianity in the past. You know, how many are in that first land, you know, where the devil came, where they actually had that experience and they lost it, you know? They don't have the life anymore, you know. They went up to the front to receive Jesus, and by the time they get back to their seat, they got a forgiveness gospel. They forgot what they went up for, to receive the new life of Jesus. And it's odd sometimes when you think about it, that these people are going through all this stuff, and, you know, and then you reflect on your own, you know, like they talk about, you come out of the sandbox there from these different, you got to be able to go back into the sandbox with them, I guess. Let's move around this sand a bit. And, now let's look for the real good heavenly soil that you have here or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, yeah, you're right. We have to go back in the sandbox. Go ahead, Dave. Did you raise your hand?
Clicking on the wrong thing. I was clicking on the mic on my name. It wasn't. Why isn't that going off? You know, I was thinking, the Lord, you know, I was trying to find out what's going on with this, what's with me, and
you know, because I feel like I might have been off, you know, on this whole thing a little bit. Not that I would get over a deep end with anybody, you know, I think so. But, and he gave me Exodus here. And this is the second time Moses goes up on the mountain to get the new tablets. Because the first ones he broke, he threw them at the idol, you know, at the golden calf. So he goes up there, and he started me out at 34.5, I'm pretty sure. Let me check to make sure that's where it was at. Yeah, 34.5. But I'm going to go right to the scripture. And he says, the Lord ascended in the cloud and stood there with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah, or the Lord, the Lord. A merciful God and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, upon the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste. This is what caught me. Moses made haste. And he bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray thee, go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And then he goes through and he's talking about the Lord's affirming this, what this covenant more is more about. And basically, you know, he's a jealous God, keeping his commandments and not to go after other gods, to be taken in and all this stuff, because he wants us to have a holy, you know, holy people. This is God. That's what he wants. Well, I look at what Moses was doing, and then he immediately, you know, I imagine all of us, we were in the presence of God, we're going to be down on our face. And that's what Moses did, of course. But Moses, his heart was for these people. And I pray that I could have that same heart. I mean, I'm praying that that's a heart that we have here, that what we're doing when we're talking about the others is that, you know, we're looking at these stiff-necked people that will not, you know, conform to what the Lord wants, and they're doing their own thing. And you try to bring anything that's close to what we're talking about that's rejected. And I know Moses, he fought that the whole time. But he's on his face. He's praying for these people. He's asked for their forgiveness, and the Lord's confirming he's going to do this. He's going to be with the thousands. You know, he's very patient. He's kind and gracious and slow to anger, but in loving kindness and truth, you know, he doesn't give up on the truth. He doesn't. So, the Lord, you know, it's not that he's patting me on the back, but he is showing me that he is the Lord, and this is what he is, you know. And he wants us to be a Moses. He wants us to be praying for these people, these stiff necks. Not like he's looking at us like, you're up here and everybody else is down there. That's not it. He says, this is your job. You know, this is where you're here. That's why you know what you know. And that's what we see, what you see, and you know who I am. You know, I'm telling you my name. I'm telling you who I am. And this is who I am. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Yep. That's what we do. Well, we're kind of getting running out of time here. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Well, Lord, I thank you for teaching all of us, Lord, how to believe you for walking this spiritual life that you want us to walk, Lord, and getting rid of this carnal, worldly life that we have been walking in. And Lord, I know that we've come a long way, but we've got a long ways to go. I'm talking for myself. And Lord, I ask and I pray, Father, that you help me walk this spiritual life, this spiritual walk that you've got me on, and all of us, Lord, I ask that for all of us, and that you would mature us in you, Lord, because I know that in the days ahead, we're going to have to know what it is to have a lot of grace. We think we see people nowadays that are Christians that are kind of rough. Boy, we're going to see some rough. And Lord, I ask that you get us all ready for that. Get us all cleaned up and dead to self, dead to the world, dead to everything around us but Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for showing us how to absolutely surrender everything to you, Lord, and to allow you to be the one leading our life and to show us things and to give us visions and dreams and give us words of knowledge and let the gifts flow from us, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father. I praise you for it, Father. And I know that there are some there that are going to have a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And it's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Father, be with us as we walk the next few days. Until we meet again, be with us and bring us back all ready to go and having things to talk about with you, Lord, because it's always awesome when we get into good discussions about the things of the Lord. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to do that. And I ask, Lord, that you protect us, provide for us, give us a good night's sleep every night, Lord, and give us dreams and visions of the things that are to come, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for protecting Trump up there in Washington and his family and the people around him, Lord, from any attacks, any kind of attacks, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for protecting, giving him wisdom too, Lord, bold wisdom like I've seen in the past, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for what all you're doing up there in Jesus' name, exposing the dark side of this government and getting rid of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, providing for us and protecting us. We ask, Lord, that you be with us till we come back next time in Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints, and God bless you. Hey, Joe, you got monkeys there?